Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. And I know for many of you, it's your favorite day of the week, right? I call it Fry-yay. Happy Friday to all of you out there. It is June 14th, 2019. And before I progress any further, I want to give a big shout out to all of the fathers out there, all of the dads. Happy Father's Day. This will be the last time I'll be able to say that, at least here on the air, right, as we go into the weekend. Father's Day is on Sunday. You know, and I'm still kicking myself about this not too long ago when we had our Friday show before that weekend's Mother's Day celebration. And I didn't even bring it up. So I'm sorry, moms. So happy belated Mother's Day. I'm so sorry about that. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I really hope that you all have a great weekend. All right. Well, a lot to get to on today's current sports. Of course, it all ended yesterday. The NBA Finals are in the books. It is said and done. And the Toronto Raptors are your NBA champions of 2019. How about that? Knocking off the Golden State Warriors in a ridiculously entertaining game. Boy, I tell you, man, games 5 and 6, you know, get your popcorn ready, right? That was very entertaining. Another unfortunate injury for the Golden State Warriors occurred last night. And this really, it's hard to ignore. Without a doubt, the Raptors are the deserving NBA champions. I mean, this is a team that is so deep, so much talent on that squad. Kawhi Leonard, again, you heard our debate on yesterday's current sports. You can really make the argument that that brother is the best basketball player on planet Earth. An amazing team. Nick Nurse, a crazy basketball mind. But you would be playing yourself if you did not ignore, well, if you do ignore, I should say, the injuries that occurred to the Golden State Warriors. So unfortunate. And this latest injury was pretty just heartbreaking. It really was. So we'll recap Game 6, the NBA Finals last night. Also, I want to touch on today Deontay Davis, who has still some life in his NBA career left, as we brought to you the headliner that he was cut by the Atlanta Hawks, waived by the Atlanta Hawks earlier this week. He seems to have found another gig rather quickly. And then on the back end of the show, I'm crossing my fingers that we may get him. Not sure, because Johnny Lewis of Blessed Body Training, he is traveling on the road today. Check this. He's driving from Arizona to Detroit, Michigan. Crazy, right? I mean, I always say here on Current Sports, I always tell you guys that I can't do a road trip more than 4 hours. Anything more than 4 hours in a car, and I start losing it. At least I would need some help driving, I should say. Okay, because I start getting sleepy, and there's only so much some of my favorite tunes and podcasts can do. All right, I'm curious. You know, we got Alec Rio behind the glass today, engineering the Fry-yay edition of Current Sports. Alec, are you a big road trip guy? What's the most that you can do in a car, man? The most you can drive.
You know, I can drive honestly, it's not that bad to me. I can drive like 10 hours. As long as I got music or a podcast or some stand-up comedy going, I'm fine, you know?
See, I start falling asleep. Jack Kerwin knows that. He took a road trip with me when we went out to, what was that? For the Final Four. How am I forgetting where the Final Four was? I'm getting that.
Minneapolis.
Yeah. That was what, like...
It's probably 9 hours total.
About 9 hours, and we split it up. But yep. You know, and I tried pushing it, and you know, especially when we were coming back, I tried to do like 5 hours. I started getting sleepy, and I had to just hand the wheel over to Jack Kerwin. But yeah, Jack, I can't anything more than 4 hours, dude. I can't do it.
Oh, I'm the same way. I gotta have like pop or something, otherwise,
right?
I mean, you're not moving, so I mean, even though you're driving, you're just sitting in your chair. Yeah, no, I space out absolutely.
Exactly. I space out too, man. So props to Johnny, man. Yeah, he's doing. I don't know how many hours that is, but from Arizona all the way to Detroit. I was talking to him earlier, and the reason why they're driving is because his parents, they're going to be in town for the holiday weekend. They don't fly. All right, they just don't do. They just don't fly. So that's a long drive, though. So wishing him well on that drive. Travel safely, Johnny. So not sure he may join us while he's in the car. May not. That's kind of like on ice right now. All right. And also, of course, we will close out today's show, like we always do each and every Friday, with Reflection Friday. We'll do all of that while inviting you all beautiful people to be a part of the hour. Multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below our live stream. All is well with the live stream. I know we've had some hiccups this week. All is good, though. It's up and running. It's got audio.
Thanks, big fella.
Looks great. Looks great. It looks great. Also, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. We start here, Kawhi Leonard, fun guy, right? And now he's a fun guy with a ring. The Toronto Raptors have won the 2019 NBA championship in Game 6 by narrowly defeating the Golden State Warriors 114-110. Four Raptors players scored at least 20 points. Fred VanVleet with 22. Kawhi Leonard with also 22 points and 9 boards, one rebound away from a double-double for him. Kyle Lowry, who began that game so hot, he finished with 26. And Pascal Siakam getting the double-dub, 26 points and 10 boards for him. Klay Thompson, who was brilliant throughout this entire series. I mean, this dude shot near 50% from beyond the arc for the series. He was amazing. He had 30 points before, unfortunately, going down on a fast break layup attempt, which Danny Green contested his shot, but Danny Green didn't make any contact with him. Klay, just came down awkwardly, and his knee seemed to twist. And we learned a few hours after the game that Klay Thompson actually ended up tearing his ACL. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? You know, just a game after Kevin Durant's situation where he ended up tearing his Achilles. Both will be out for extensive time. Who knows when we will see those two players ball out next season. But what I love about that moment is that you really saw the heart of a warrior. No pun intended there. As Klay Thompson, you know, he was walking back to the locker room to get that knee evaluated, and then he got word, you know, it was caught on camera too, he got word that if he did not shoot the ensuing free throws that he wouldn't be able to return for the entire game. He walked back out there, and he was jogging, actually. I mean, this dude was jogging on like a torn ACL. You know, it kind of reminded me of when Tiger Woods tore his ACL and still won the U.S. Open back in the day, right? But, you know, Klay comes out, you know, knocks down the free throws, then tries to go back on defense and play the rest of the game. And he would have if it were up to him, right? But then, you know, he got that knee evaluated and, yeah, torn ACL for Klay Thompson. So, just so many injuries for the Warriors. I mentioned Kevin Durant, Kayvon Looney as well, who was out there playing, but you can just tell he was in immense pain with that rib injury. The Raptors win the series 4-2, and the parade is actually set for Monday at 10 a.m. But, boy, oh, boy, I caught some of the coverage, the local coverage out in Toronto, fans celebrating. Oh, I got some thoughts on that. That party is probably still going on out in Toronto as I speak, okay? Also, the Alameda County Sheriff's Office is investigating Toronto Raptors president of basketball operations, Masai Ujiri, for suspicion of misdemeanor battery on a police officer, confirmed this morning. Now, the incident occurred last night on the floor at Oracle Arena after the Raptors are trying to celebrate, you know, this NBA championship win. Ujiri, he tried to join the team on the floor. He was stopped by a deputy. NBC Bay Area posted a video of the incident late last night showing the aftermath, but it does not show what happened first. The sheriff's office is gathering information on what occurred, talking to witnesses and members of the security teams, as well as gathering available video. That's according to Sergeant Ray Kelly today. Alec, that's a new addition to the headliners. I'm just seeing that as I read it. Have you seen the video?
I've seen the video. It doesn't really show much of like the instigating, you know, conflict, but it shows another man trying to hold the deputy from going towards Ujiri and try to arrest him. And like the guy, like the other guy was like trying to hold him back, like separating the two with hands out, like as you can see in the live stream, like hands out like this, like trying to keep both sides from, you know, coming at each other. And if that guy wouldn't have been there, I honestly think, you know, the president of the Raptors would have gotten arrested right on the floor in front of his celebrating team.
This is before the trophy ceremony, huh? This is before he got on the mic with Doris Burke and they're sitting there on the platform talking about, you know, how they accomplished this incredible feat. This happened before all of that?
Yes, this happened. Wow. Like this happened pretty much immediately after the final buzzer sounded.
And again, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall right here because, again, this is the first time I'm hearing of this story. The only thing that you know, if I'm guessing here, I'm guessing that the deputy didn't know that Masai Ujiri was Masai Ujiri and was the president of basketball operations and just looked at this brother, you know, trying to come down on the floor and said, "No, who are you?" And that caused a ruckus. And I'm sure Masai probably felt some type of way because his team just won the NBA Finals. He's the mastermind behind it. And you're not letting me on the court? So
I know.
I probably would have felt some type of way, too. So we'll find more details out about this story. But that is such a weird story. I tell you what, Masai Ujiri, when he was on the broadcast last night for ABC, he was a very happy man and deservingly so. And then Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN drops a bombshell. Say the NBA folks. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that the Washington Wizards are interested in Masai Ujiri, trying to pick Masai from the Toronto Raptors to rebuild the Washington Wizards franchise. And they're willing. This is the only thing, you know, money talks, man. This is the only thing that would lure Masai away, and that's moolah. They're willing to pay Masai, Alec, $10 million per year. Cha-ching. I may go. Hey, and we don't even know if Kawhi Leonard's coming back. That's another layer to this whole thing, too. Especially if Kawhi doesn't come back, man. Hey, $10 mil a year? I mean, I may, Toronto. He's already given Toronto a championship, so you can't hate the guy. So, you know, chuck the deuces and go get that bread.
Hey, you know, you got to pay for the gas for your yacht somehow, you know?
Exactly, man. I mean, and Masai Ujiri, I tell you what, he took a risk with this one-year contract with Kawhi Leonard. And it paid off big time. And then the whole Marc Gasol acquisition as well. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So more on Toronto winning the NBA championship in just a moment. Michigan State men's basketball committed a pair of secondary NCAA violations during the 2018-19 season, according to MSU records obtained by the Detroit Free Press. They're minor. One of the violations occurred because of an act of kindness from Coach Tom Izzo. The incident occurred, if you remember, March 13th. That took place as MSU prepare to host the semifinals and finals of the MHSAA Boys Basketball State Championship Tournament from March 14th to the 16th. And Izzo committed a violation by taking a participating high school team on a tour of Michigan State's locker room and practice facility. That team is Iron Mountain. Yeah, Iron Mountain High School, Tom Izzo's alma mater. All right, I remember we talked about that story here on Current Sports. You know, Izzo was just showing them around and gave them an inspirational speech before that weekend. And the act is classified as a violation because high school players are not allowed to tour facilities if they are present for competition-related activities. So petty, right? Now, the violation was classified as secondary in nature, and there was no punishment levied because of the circumstances. Now, Michigan State is not recruiting any of Iron Mountain's players, and the university's Office of Compliance Services stated it would have applied for a waiver had it known ahead of time that Izzo wanted to give his former high school a tour. And the other violation occurred on January 9th of this year when Izzo had impermissible off-campus contact with two recruits after a high school basketball game. Recruits. Yeah, I tell you, these rules, man, there are so many rules. I couldn't be a college basketball coach. I feel like I'd be committing a violation every single day. But both recruits, whose names were redacted in the report, are not committed to the Spartans. As a result, MSU forfeited 4 recruiting days and was limited to 5 recruiting opportunities with the two prospects during the 2018-19 academic year. So again, as I stated, 2 violations that are incredibly minor. All right, dollar bill, y'all. Michigan State basketball coach Juwan Howard has agreed to a 5-year deal with the university that could be worth up to $11.2 million. Howard signed a memorandum of understanding with the university on May 22nd, the same day his hiring was announced. The Detroit Free Press received his MOU via Freedom of Information Act request. While the MOU is not a formal employment contract, Howard's 5-year deal runs through April 30th of the year 2024. His base salary is $400,000 each year, while his total compensation escalates with each season. Now, in year one, Howard will make $2 million. That jumps up to $2.1 million in year two, $2.2 million in year three, $2.4 million in year four, and $2.5 million in year five. All right, and Ray, if you're listening, you might want to turn down the radio now for this one. That's right, the Bullies will be playing this weekend. The Michigan Wolverines advance to the College Baseball World Series in Omaha after they defeated number one ranked UCLA in the winner-take-all game of the LA Super Regional. And Michigan will return to the College World Series for the 8th time in program history, the first time since 1984. Winners of 2 national championships back in 1953 and 1962, U of M advanced to Omaha in 1978, finishing 5th place in 1980, 5th, 1981, 7th, 1983, 3rd, and 1984, 7th. They will take on number 8th ranked Texas Tech on Saturday at 1 p.m. That's Central Time. So that's 4 o'clock. Local time, am I right? 4 o'clock our time, I believe, in the first game of the College World Series at TD Ameritrade Park. Arkansas and Florida State will play in the day's second game, with the losers and winners of Saturday's game facing each other on Monday. And unfortunate news here, the ride has stopped for the Eaton Rapids softball team. Eaton Rapids excelled again in the postseason with district and regional championships and another berth in the Final Four of the state tournament. But the number 3 ranked Greyhounds weren't able to get the lasting memory that they hoped for this weekend, as their quest for a state championship was stopped short in the semifinals. A season that had many highs was halted for ER with an 8-1 setback against number 4 ranked Stevensville Lake Shore in a Division II semifinal on Thursday morning at Michigan State's Sekia Stadium. This is coming from Scott Warner, whose program had goals to get back to this point and visions of capturing a state title after getting to this stage back in 2018. Quote, we just didn't finish the job. But Scott, great year by ER and your Greyhounds. What a season it was. And us here in the local community are incredibly proud of you all. All right, the Detroit Tigers have gone back to their losing ways as they drop last night's match against the Royals of Kansas City, 7-3. Yeah, the next game is against Cleveland, the Indians, back home at Comerica, starting tonight at 7:10 p.m. You, of course, can catch that on Fox Sports Detroit. And since joining the MLB, Shohei Ohtani has been putting on a show. Yeah, that's literally in his name, right? his style of play on both pitching and batting is something that has not been seen in the MLB before. And yesterday, he became the first Japanese-born player to hit for the cycle in Major League Baseball history. He did it with a single in the seventh inning off Tampa Bay reliever Hunter Wood. That followed a three-run home run in the first, a double in the third, and a triple in the fifth. Absolutely amazing. And real quick, the U.S. Open leaderboard, Justin Rose, who had a stellar round yesterday to open up the U.S. Open. He is leading the pack at 6-under. You've got Ricky Fowler behind him at 5-under. Xander Schauffele is also at 5-under. Aaron Wise also at 4-under. So he's two shots in back of Justin Rose. As far as Tiger Woods, he finished with a 1-under yesterday. And he has actually moved that to 2-under now as he began his round around 11:30 this morning. So we'll keep you updated on the U.S. Open as well. That does it for your Quick Hit Headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can also weigh in on Twitter. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Celebrating his butt off.
Well, when you see him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him.
I will. What kind of plant is that?
Tell him thank you for the shot.
What kind of plant is that?
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plant.
Kawhi plant.
It's a Kawhi cactus.
Have a good night, man.
Coactus.
Coactus. I like it. I like it. It's a, plant guy says it's a coactus. I think plant guy, I think he's doing well. I think he's having a good night. Let's just put it that way. Coactus.
We the forest.
It's a new species forest. Of plant.
We the forest. We the forest.
Have a good night. There you go. Plant guy, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's hilarious, isn't it? That is a fan, a Toronto Raptors fan, who has gone viral since the video was released late last night. I'm not seeing here which local station interviewed him. Well, actually, Global Toronto. That's what it is. Yeah, Global News's Mark Carasoli. He called it with the Raptors fan. Dubbed Plant Guy. If you have not seen the video of Plant Guy. It is absolutely hilarious. I mean, this dude is literally walking around with what looks to be like a palm tree in his hand. A huge palm tree. So, you know, Mark Carosoli said, "Hey, Plant Guy, come over here." And you heard what he said. He said it's a plant for Kawhi Leonard of the Toronto Raptors. And it's a Kawhi cactus. A coactus. It's a housewarming gift. And he said that Kawhi is not leaving. This is his housewarming gift. Plant Guy definitely had a few pops in his system. I'll just say that. But the video is absolutely hilarious. And that's just a little taste of the celebration, the joyous occasion that was last night out in Toronto as the Toronto Raptors ended up beating the Golden State Warriors in Game 6, closing this thing out. It was not easy. It was not easy. It seemed like every time the Toronto Raptors would you know stretch a lead of 6 to 8 points, all of a sudden, man, you know, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson will hit a big shot, or Draymond Green would find somebody open. I mean, it was amazing. Andre Iguodala was big last night as well. But in the end, it just wasn't enough. And the moment when it really became real for me, and I tweeted this last night while watching the game, was when Klay Thompson went down. Klay Thompson, who had been just remarkable. Klay Thompson balled out, and he really balled out all series long. If somehow, some way, the Golden State Warriors won that series, Klay Thompson would have been named as the NBA Finals MVP. He put on a performance unlike any other, and he shot near 50% from beyond the arc the entire series. But the moment when it really became real for me that the Raptors were going to pull this thing out and that the Larry O.B. was theirs was when Klay Thompson went down on that fast break layup attempt in which he got fouled by Danny Green. He goes down awkwardly and immediately starts writhing in pain. And you look at the replay, he came down awkwardly. I believe it was on his left leg, and it twist a bit, and he went down, but he gets up, you know, after, you know, expressing some immense pain. He gets up, he walks on it. Then you see him in the back, and he starts jogging a bit. He came back out, shot the two free throws because he got word that if he didn't, he wouldn't be eligible to return the entire game, the rest of the game. And then he gets back on defense for a moment, like, all right, game time, let's go, I'm good. And what's so remarkable is that, you know, first off, you got to peek into the heart of Klay Thompson. I mean, Klay Thompson is, I mean, he is a warrior in every facet of that word, in every definition of that word, he really is. He did not allow injury or pain to stymie his presence for that team. Truly amazing. Truly amazing. And, you know, you find out a few hours after the game that Klay Thompson had a torn ACL. He has a torn ACL. That's the injury that he was willing to still play on to try and lift his Warriors to victory last night to survive and push this thing to a possible Game 7. It's amazing. You know, he led the team in scoring last night with 30 points. Steph Curry was rather pedestrian. Got to be honest with you. You know, we praise Steph Curry a lot. I believe that he has revolutionized the game. We can debate left and right whether or not that's for good or bad. But he has revolutionized the game, making the three-point line one of the most important, if not the most important, facet of today's game. But he was rather pedestrian last night. And you got to give a lot of credit to the Toronto Raptors and how they chose to defend Steph Curry really throughout this series. I was making this point with the homies last night. I mean, that box and one defense that Nick Nurse went to was amazing. And it frustrated Steph Curry. I mean, we saw him last night trying to split between a double team going behind the back. I mean, he was seeing extra defenders everywhere, and he looked confused, really. And he had a hand in his face at just about every three-pointer that he took. He was 3-for-11 from deep, 6-of-17 from the floor, 21 points. That's not. Those aren't numbers that you usually read when it comes to a Steph Curry box score. Andre Iguodala was fantastic. If you would have told me that Andre Iguodala would outscore Steph Curry in that game six before the game, I would have said you're crazy. But he did. He had 22 points, 9 of 15, 3 of 6 from deep. He shot 50% from three-point land. That's amazing. Then Draymond. Draymond Green was great. He may not light up the score column, but look at every other column. 19 rebounds, 13 assists. Now, he did have some boneheaded plays, not even going to hold you up. Remember that one play on the baseline to the left of the rim where he tried to draw a foul and just gives the basketball up? And actually, if you look at that video really closely, he traveled. He picked up his pivot foot and shuffled his feet and then tried to argue with the ref. That can't happen. But 19 boards, 13 assists. Wow, to go along with 11 points. So a triple-double for him last night. 3 steals, 2 blocks, but 8 turnovers, 8 costly turnovers in that game. And I know, Spartan Nation, you all turned into Golden State Warriors fans due to Draymond Green being on that roster. Many of you screaming, "Go Dubs, go." Rocking that gold and blue. But the only reason you're rooting for the Warriors is because of Draymond Green, who comes up a bit short. And you look on the flip side of this, you look at the Toronto Raptors, and it's just weird in sports, isn't it, right now? It really is. I mean, in the Stanley Cup Finals, first off, the St. Louis Blues were a team that was dead last in the NHL in January and ended up winning this whole thing. What? Are you kidding me? And then how about March Madness and college basketball, right? You had Texas Tech and Virginia. And we all thought that was Dukes to lose, right? That was weird. Just odd. Virginia and Texas Tech. And then you saw what happened the year prior, too, with Virginia going out and becoming the first one seed to lose to a 16 seed. Weird. And they go all the way the very next year. And then now the Toronto Raptors beating the Golden State Warriors? Alec, what is happening in the sports world right now, dude? It's weird. We're seeing some serious parody and unpredictability in 2019.
I love it.
It's crazy, isn't it? I love it too, because when it's too predictable, and that's the thing. That's the complaint that I had with the NBA. Even though I'm the NBA guy, but you know that the Warriors are going to be there at the end of the day, and oh my goodness, here we go another year. Kevin Durant's over there, and then all of a sudden. Injuries happen. Toronto plays extremely well throughout the playoffs, and they win. Just a weird time. A weird time in sports right now here in America. And then you look at last night and how the Raptors won. And this is the secret sauce. It's easy to just point at Kawhi Leonard and say, yep, look at that guy. I mean, he's unbelievable. He is arguably the best player in basketball right now. But when you look at the bigger picture here, a championship just can't be won by one man. You got to have a team, and that's exactly what the Raptors embody. That is a team, a very deep team that got production from multiple players throughout this series and throughout the playoffs. Pascal Siakam, brilliant last night. 10 of 17, 3 of 6 from deep, 26 points. How about Kyle Lowry? As I mentioned in the headliners, he had an unreal start to the game. Spearheaded that start. I thought that it was going to balloon to a double-digit lead. The Warriors, though, that resiliency of the Warriors is just amazing. But Kyle Lowry was fantastic, 9 of 16, 4 of 7. Incredibly proud of him because he is one of the very few superstars in the league that is loyal to a franchise. And he has been with the Raptors for a long time, and now he's an NBA champion. 26 points for him last night. Serge Ibaka, 7 of 12. He was big time last night, had some key rebounds, and he cruised along to 15 points. You look at Kawhi's stat sheet, 7 of 16, 1 of 5 from deep, could have been better shooting the ball from beyond the arc, 22 points for him, but he had those 22 points came in big moments for the most part. But who's the player on that Raptors roster who really saved them? who, if they didn't get production for him, from him, I should say, and if he didn't hit timely buckets, timely three-point shots, the Raptors would have lost. Fred Van Vliet, FVV, he was huge. 6 of 14, 5 for 11 from beyond the arc, 22 points coming off the bench. And this is a brother from Wichita State playing once for the Shockers, who was undrafted. Undrafted. Are you kidding me? I mean, if you would have told me before this NBA season that the Toronto Raptors were going to beat the Golden State Warriors and the Warriors were going to have crucial injuries to players like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Kevon Looney, and the Raptors were going to be led in that final game that seals the deal by a player that was not even drafted to the association. Undrafted. And Fred Van Vliet from Wichita State, I would have said, yeah, you've had a just like Plant Guy, you've had way too many pops. You're crazy. You are out of your mind. But that's exactly what happened. And now Toronto, the Raptors, are the champions of the basketball world. Ah, an amazing story. Now, real quick, I've been getting this question a lot. You know, we're always on to the next thing in the sports world, right? Okay, will Kawhi Leonard stay with this team? He was asked that question by Doris Burke on the stage last night, center court of Oracle Arena. And he said, I'm not trying to think about that right now. I just want to celebrate this, and then we'll worry about that later. That's an answer that leaves a lot of debate open out there. I would like, from a basketball fan perspective, I would love if Kawhi Leonard stayed out in Toronto, and if, you know, I would love to see if this team can give another go, give another run at this NBA, you know, a back-to-back NBA title come next season, but I just don't know. In the landscape of the NBA right now, where players are looking out for them, Kawhi Leonard is certainly going to test the free agent market, and I don't know if he'll be a Raptor next season. I just don't know. That was not a confident answer. listening to how he answered that question from Doris Burke last night, that was not a confident answer. But regardless of where this team goes, regardless of if Masai Ujiri decides to go to Washington or wherever for more money, this is a team that should be respected for what they accomplished. And Kawhi Leonard is special, man. He really is. You know, again, I call him the Barry Sanders of the NBA today. You know, he's not going to talk trash. He's not going to gloat about a dunk or a shot. He just goes out there, you know, blue-collar, lunch pail mentality, goes out there and completely balls out of control. And he now becomes the third player in NBA history alongside Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain to win a NBA championship with two different franchises. He also becomes the first NBA player ever to win an NBA championship with a team from, you know, from both conferences. And also, want to give Kawhi big props on this, and it didn't hit me until last night, that Kawhi Leonard, man, you know how they call Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones the King Slayer, Alec? Remember that? That was Jaime Lannister's nickname. Or do you watch Game of Thrones? You don't even watch
it. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Never mind. I'm talking to a non-Game of Thrones watcher. Well, for those who watch Game of Thrones, they call Jaime Lannister the King Slayer. And I think that the nickname that you can dub Kawhi Leonard is the Dynasty Killer, the Dynasty Slayer. Because if you remember when the Miami Heat won back-to-back NBA titles, who beat them to stymie that three-peat? Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs. The Golden State Warriors had an opportunity in this series to accomplish the coveted three-peat as well. Well, who stops that? Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors. Quite amazing. Quite amazing. He is a special, special, special player. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to make some points about Deonte Davis, who was briefly unemployed, but it seems as though he has found new life in the association. I want to make some points about Deonte. And then, of course, we still have Reflection Friday on deck. If you would like to be a part of the show, pick up that phone and call us. What do you think of the Toronto Raptors win over the Warriors? Also, where's the level of respect as well? You know, are you more so saying that the Warriors lost this because of injuries or the Raptors went out there and took it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A few comments coming in courtesy of our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben says, disappointed that Golden State lost last night, but the injuries, turnovers, and bad play calling at the end in the last 9.6 seconds of regulation did in Golden State last night. Real quick, you know, props to Steve Kerr, who really diagrammed a brilliant play that possibly would have given Golden State the lead, I believe, if my recollection is correct here. But that final play, they throw it in bounds. It goes to Draymond Green right in front of the Warriors bench. He tosses it to Steph Curry, who came off a pick. Steph Curry got a great look at that shot and just couldn't nail it. I mean, great look. And Steph knew it. He put his head down immediately. Steve Kerr immediately chuckled and brought Draymond and Steph to him, because the ball ended up, you know, after he misses the shot, it goes on the ground. Golden State called the timeout. Draymond Green did, knowing that the team didn't have any timeouts. And if he didn't call that timeout, frankly, the time would have ran out and the celebration would have ensued for the Toronto Raptors. But, you know, it led to a technical where the Raptors shoot a free throw and they get the ball back. It was basically done at that point. But, you know, Steve Kerr and Draymond and especially Steph knew that that was a golden opportunity that they just kind of let slip through their fingers. Alex says something was wrong with Steph, and that's an interesting comment, Alex, because that's something I debated my stepdad with last night. You know, I don't think any. You know what was wrong with Steph? I'll tell you what was wrong with Steph. The Toronto Raptors were what was wrong with Steph Curry. All right. Again, that defense, that box and one defense that we saw from Nick Nurse was brilliant. Everywhere Steph went last night, you saw at least two Toronto Raptors jerseys on him and following him everywhere that he went. So now you can flashback. I think it was what, game two, and Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy brought it up. I mean, Steph Curry maybe looked a little sick in that game in the first half. You know, he kind of looked a little bit woozy. I don't know what that was about. But then the second half, he just explodes and goes off. But that Toronto Raptors defense is legit. It's for real. Jack?
Is there any NBA athlete who gets more excuses made for him than Steph Curry? Every time he has a bad game, people are speculating that he's hurt.
Right?
Maybe he's just not a big-time player. Yo, he's never won a Finals MVP.
I disagree with that. I think Steph Curry, I mean, he's the greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah, he's the greatest shooter of all time, but he's also 0-for-9 in go-ahead shots where there's less than 20 seconds left.
You can debate whether or not Steph is clutch.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that. Steph Curry has fumbled in big moments a lot in the playoffs. I'm not even going to argue with you on that one, Jack. And that's a really good point, because I had this debate last season.
Every single time he plays badly, we're speculating that he's hurt.
There are excuses that come out for Steph. And I think it's because he's such Steph is like, who can I compare him to in the world of, I don't know if I can compare him to anybody in the world of like football or any other sport, but he's like the golden child. He's so nice. He's so respectable. He says the right things. He does the right things. It's hard to not like Steph Curry. So when he does do something wrong, it's like, oh, there's got to be something wrong with him. When he does have a bad game, I should say, oh, there's got to be something wrong with Steph. That's the only way I can try to explain this. Because I agree, Jack, there are a lot of people out there who make excuses. Connor Mathis, on his day off, is commenting on our Facebook page and says, thank you, Jack. Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with that. There are a lot of people who make excuses for Steph Curry. Real quick here, Deontay Davis. And you know, I think I may have, and speaking of Connor Mathis, Connor kind of joked about this on yesterday's show because, you know, I had a segment planned to talk about. We did talk about Connor Cook, former Michigan State quarterback, great, who just has not found his footing in the National Football League. He's been waived by many teams. You know, most recently the Detroit Lions waived him, and, you know, we were debating whether or not we would ever see Connor Cook, you know, have another opportunity at being a starting quarterback in the National Football League, and we were grading the disappointment of Connor when it comes to his professional career. He's the most decorated quarterback in MSU history, and my expectations were pretty high, just like many of you MSU fans out there, and he just hasn't found his footing. And I had planned to use that as a segue to go into what's happened with Deontay Davis, because Deontay Davis, he had gotten waived by the Atlanta Hawks, and he got picked up rather quickly. The Houston Rockets made a roster upgrade, depending on who you ask, by claiming Deontay Davis off of waivers. So, you know, Davis, you know, 6'11", played in the NBA for 3 seasons. Of course, he attended Michigan State. He was a one-and-done guy, left after 1 season, much to the criticism of many out there, including myself. But, you know, and it is the thing with me. I can't stress this point enough. If a young man decides to leave college basketball or to leave whatever collegiate sport that is and wants to finally get paid for what he does on the court or the field, who are we to criticize that young man? Because all the NCAA is doing is exploiting these young kids. They don't get paid. Looking at the schedule for a collegiate athlete, especially a Division I college basketball athlete, it's working like 3 9-to-5s, and then you're trying to go to class? I mean, come on. And they don't get paid at all. They don't get compensated whatsoever. So I can't blame Deontay Davis for deciding that, you know what, I want to make my dreams come true and go to the next level. From a basketball standpoint, could Deontay Davis have used another year or 3? Without a doubt. We all know that. Deontay Davis was not ready. Was not ready whatsoever. But he went. And he was taken with the 31st overall pick in the second round of the 2016 NBA draft by the Boston Celtics. And I believe, you know, he got his start in Memphis because of a trade, I believe. I believe Memphis actually had that pick. He appeared in 36 games, averaged 6 minutes. He played for the Grizz again the following season before spending a year with the Hawks, appearing in just 9 games. But, you know, this is... I think for the most part, you know, we don't get to hear these stories highlighted that often because they're not publicized like that. But this is what trying to play professional ball is like for most athletes. Unless you are elite of the elite, you're going to be a journeyman. You know, you're going to have to float with a few franchises and find your footing. And especially if you leave college early when you clearly aren't ready. Again, I believe that Deontay Davis, he got, you know, I believe that his family and friends, those who were in his camp, supposedly in his corner, quote unquote, they pressured him to make that move. That's my opinion on the matter. They pressured Deontay. Deontay said, okay, well, you know, I want to make this NBA dream come true. This could drastically change my family situation. And he made that decision due to that. That's just my speculation. That's just my opinion. And it's a move that Deontay Davis made that I totally understand. You know, especially for a kid who comes from not the greatest background. You know, just try and put yourself in Deontay Davis' shoes. Or any player's shoes who come from a struggling background, not a great financial background, and you know that you are just a reach away from making your professional basketball dreams come true and possibly changing the life of your family and those others around you. Why not take a shot at it, right? But he clearly wasn't ready. And, you know, looking at the situation out in Houston, they will likely lose Nene to retirement. They could lose Kenneth Faried, who fit in well with the Rockets last season, but they may lose him to free agency. Not to mention reports indicate that many within the Rockets organization believe that at least one of Clint Capela, Eric Gordon, or PJ Tucker will not be with the team next season. Maybe this is the situation that is ideal for Deontay Davis. With those names, again, Nene may retire. Kenneth Faried may leave due to free agency. Then you look at Clint Capela, Eric Gordon, or PJ Tucker not being with the team next season. I'm just hoping that DD is in the gym, he's working hard, and he's still holding on to this dream because he hasn't thrown in the towel just yet. Sometimes it takes one, you know, or two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight times before you finally crack a roster and you know, you really make those dreams come true and solidify a place on a roster. So I'm rooting for DD. It's been an interesting journey, though, in these last few years for him. But I'm encouraged because I was prepared to come on this show earlier this week and say that, yeah, I don't think that Deontay Davis is going to be given another shot. You know, maybe he needs to try and go internationally, see if he can make some team out in Europe somewhere. Or maybe even, you know, try the G League and work on your game that way, which I still think he should do. You know, play in the summer league. You know, play in the summer league and see what happens. See if you can just get better. And maybe you can turn some heads when it comes to other execs and GMs and other teams. They can keep you in mind. We're rooting for you, Didi, because I know it has been a tough journey for you. All right, let's hit our final break. We'll put a bow on this Friday edition of Current Sports with Reflection Friday. We'll be right back.
About sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
All right, it is time for Reflection Friday, actually. And that's the weekend winner's music, Alec. I let it ride out, though. I'm like, all right, I'll see if it clicks after a while. All right, so it's Friday, man. We need the weekend. We need some rest, right, Alec? You need some
rest.
That's what it is. And Alec is just sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. But, you know, I make the mistake every Monday by calling it Reflection Friday when it's a Monday. So I don't know. It happens.
But it is. I was waiting on the piano riff, but no, that's the. I guess we can do a week winner list because that's kind of like what my Reflection Friday is. I want to give a shout out to, of course, the Toronto Raptors, Kawhi Leonard, and I want to correct myself. I said that Kawhi Leonard was the first. I totally whiffed on this. The first NBA player to win an NBA championship in two conferences. No, he is the first to win a Finals MVP in both conferences. But what Kawhi Leonard has done throughout his career, and this is a guy who I was highly critical of, if you remember during his stint, that final year with the San Antonio Spurs, I was very critical of Kawhi Leonard because of all of the gray area, Kawhi not really letting the organization know if he was healthy enough to play, not being present, at least show up to the games to support your team. For the San Antonio Spurs, I thought that was totally wrong. And then he's with his camp working out and trying to get well. I hated that. I'm like, look, be with your team. They're in the playoffs. Support them. At least be in the building. And he wasn't. But to see how far he's come now and to see how he attacks the game is truly remarkable. Also, again, a big shout out to the Eaton Rapids softball team. They may have fallen and come just short yet again of that state championship appearance and that state championship dream, but what a year for the Eaton Rapids Greyhound softball program. And also a quick update when it comes to the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. Justin Rose still has that lead. He now has a 3-stroke lead on the field, 8-under for Justin Rose through 9 after shooting that 65 yesterday in round one. Ricky Fowler tees off at 447, Xander Schauffele at 509, and Luis Oosthuizen, he will tee off at 520. All three nipping on the heels of Justin Rose, but again, he still has a 3-shot lead. When it comes to my man Tiger Woods, y'all, he is 2-under now through 9. Let's see if Tiger can make a run at this thing on his the back end of his second round. So have a great weekend, though, people. Again, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. We'll see you Monday. And as always, be easy, people.